Welcome to Make It Sound Fiction, episode 20. This is the
podcast. This is a horrible idea.
I know, partner. I love talking funny like a cowboy. This is the podcast that every week we pick apart
cowboy
pop
culture
and media. Okay. What?
We pick apart cowboy culture.
Yeah, because I want to be a cowboy. And I don't know, maybe astute listeners or people that aren't living under a rock or somehow spent the last week, according to Metacritic, in a coma.
Haven't heard about the game of the generation, you know?
I'm comfortable with calling Red Dead Redemption the game of the known existence of humanity.
Yeah,
personally,
it's the game we don't need any other games.
It's my forever game. Yeah. I want it entombed with my body after I die, so that I can play cowboys into the afterlife. So, we are going to be talking about Red Dead Redemption, also otherwise known as the Good, the Bad, and the Labor Inequality game. Probably because it's been on the mouths and brains and hearts of everybody for the last 2 weeks. Or if you are a rock star employee, the last 7 years of your life.
That's
as
so
inescapable hell.
Wild that it's been in development that long, but yeah. Makes sense. Rockstar spends like millions of years on games.
Look, all that time creates all the quality we're used to.
Yeah.
So, I think we're being a little bit glib here, mostly because I think it should be pretty apparent to our listeners in particular that the reason that Rockstar has such a big splashy opening to their game is that a week before it actually came off embargo, there was a interview, a gushy interview, you know,
yeah,
Vulture,
uncritical for the most part,
extremely uncritical. Yeah. Called that was in Vulture.
It was
that
Vulture.
Was,
yeah, I don't remember the title. It was like how the West
was digitized.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
Okay. uncritical on a lot of levels, like so many reviews this week. But basically, by Harold Goldberg, who spent a great deal of time basically idolizing the Hauser brothers,
yeah,
who are
because they don't
the...
talk to anybody. That was the thing. That's the notable thing here is Rockstar never talks to anybody.
They don't.
Like the Hauser
especially
brothers
the
barely ever say anything. Yeah, they're very secretive.
Yeah, they kind of mentioned that in their interview that, you know, the Hausers themselves think that, you know, they don't want to be in the spotlight, and I can understand why. It seems like they're not very well press trained. That is, if the press was going to actually, you know, throw them something other than softballs.
Yeah.
But Dan Hauser basically made a kind of an interesting comment about working 100-hour weeks, which
boasting it.
Boasting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we really, like, worked our butts off on this game 100-hour weeks to make such a good game, to digitize the West.
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of sent everybody, like, it was weird because in the interview it's there's no question after that, there's no follow-up to that at all. They that's just a quote that I guess Goldberg decided is good to be in there but didn't think about it that hard, especially when I don't know, like, the Telltale thing wasn't very long ago. Not that that was like people working overtime or anything, but you know, labor stuff, like. And then also, wasn't there something else before Telltale that was like people talking about? I mean, obviously Life is Strange and stuff, but
yeah,
there was something before Red Dead that people were talking about, like, working way too long. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it was just big games, you know.
Here's the thing, is there's been a couple of articles over the last year or so with the Telltale thing, with Red Dead,
just crunch in general has been a thing.
In general,
yeah,
Game Workers Unite is also got started as well, because there are just some really
because none of this is unique practices. To Rockstar. That's the saddest and most important thing to also remember. None of this is unique.
Yeah, here's the thing is, like, for those of us who are old, I remember when EA Spouse blog happened, and I wasn't even really that into video games at that point. I was just on a forum that had a lot of gamers on it, and I remember reading those blogs, and it was just from, like, spouses who were just like, my husband doesn't come home, I haven't seen him in weeks, like, and it just kind of illuminated some of the, like, human toll, the human, like, costs of...
Yeah, these giant games.
These giant games, and...
Because they're just huge. Like, I don't know. Like, one thing that I was thinking about is, like, you look at how so often these games are now, like, bragging about how they're open world, and a lot of them are doing things sort of like the Assassin's Creed Odyssey game, where it has stuff that, like, you and I recognize from World of Warcraft, which is an MMO that you pay for monthly. That's huge.
Yeah. That's also has similarly long term development, but it's a little bit more piecemeal, I think.
Right. And it's been, it has, its world is created by, like, stuff released, you know, for years before it, not just one big release. And it's just, I don't know. Like, it makes you think about, like, these like giant games that are coming out, and how much work it requires for, you know, they're being developed in, what, 2-3 maybe like 6 years max. I don't know, not like a ton of years for some of these games. I mean, obviously Rockstar is usually sort of an outlier, but a lot of these games, even like, you know, like the Call of Duty games and stuff like that, they come out every year, so for the most part. And that's just a lot of I don't know, it's really weird, because it's like people get so excited about these games, but we just never question. Like, I really you listen to the Waypoint podcast, like, I really like the thing that, like, they were talking about, like, you know, maybe these games shouldn't even exist if it requires this much work, or, like, this game could exist in a different way. But I still think about the idea, because, like, I'm also playing Red Dead, and the thing I think about a lot is, like, well, yeah, some of this stuff is really neat, but, like, I'd be okay with it just not existing if these people weren't, like, killed to make it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many layers to talking about. I mean, I've seen so many shades of the discussion of, like, well, if a person wants to work that much, it's okay. Or if, you know, like, this is a management issue. And I'm like, no, it's really just that we have an unhealthy work culture in gaming. We really do. We just,
it's the fact that people even feel like, ooh, I'm really like passionate, so I should work a lot. That's a weird idea already.
Well, that's something we've definitely talked about on the show before, and definitely have thought about a lot, because back on my old podcast, on Justice Points, we spoke to Austin Walker and Ian Williams about a piece that they wrote a couple years ago about the labor practices of Blizzard, even, and how Blizzard trades on passion, and this is like your life dream. This is like your dream job. And
Blizzard also doesn't talk a lot either, and I wonder if this is definitely a thing there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it is from what you were talking, but yeah.
Exactly. So it's like the game industry is already set up to kind of create these unhealthy practices where it churns through young 20-somethings at like a huge rate.
Because it really doesn't value the people working on the game. And longevity. Because, like, one, like, MMOs often will, like, well, when they were back when people were making MMOs, you know, they would ship and then just lay off a bunch of people. And then but like I was saying earlier, a lot of these modern games are like MMOs in terms of scale. So, like, I bet even, like, Assassin's Creed or something, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, don't know for sure, but games like that will definitely just lay off a bunch of people after it's, shipped.
Yeah.
And that's just a normal thing.
So, on top of the crunch, we have creating a culture where, creating a games culture, game company culture, where people feel like the long hours are a measure of their passion. You have unhealthy enforced hours that, and if you read the Kotaku article that Jason Schreier wrote definitely talks to like 90 former and current employees about the expectations of being there those long hours. So you have that on top of the fact that you never have a stable job position, that upward mobility is not guaranteed, that wages are not commensurate with living costs, because a lot of these games are made in San Francisco, Seattle, New York City, you know, that certain positions lend themselves to being abused a lot more frequently, say QA, programming, things like that. A lot of people work in the games industry on contract, which means you don't have health insurance, you don't have life insurance, you don't have any sort of security, no 401k options. You have to pay exorbitant taxes. Contractors pay, you know, 30 to 35% in taxes because it's not taken out of their paychecks.
But you're working on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
The and game that's of the generation.
That's what it all goes back to. Yeah. The game industry continually sells it as like, this is, you should be paying us.
Yeah.
This is a once in a lifetime opportunity to work on the second biggest game of all time.
And they hold like your money hostage because of, like, you know, like if the game doesn't sell, otherwise, you only get a bonus if the game does really well, which obviously this game is going to do well, but like, but
people should be paid. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about bonuses. Bonuses are great if you already get paid the amount of money.
It shouldn't make up for what you're supposed to be getting paid.
Yeah. It's, you really shouldn't, they shouldn't be holding the money, like, they shouldn't be holding that kind of money back from people. It should be like a perk on top. You should already be getting paid well what you're worth.
Because that's what happened to the guy who is suing Rockstar, right? Like, he did voice acting for, like, not much, and then that game, it was Grand Theft Auto, one of them, four or something, I think?
I don't know. It already came out this week that the Hauser brothers are going to be getting, Hauser brothers and a few select, like, corporate, you know, like, higher up people are going to be getting a bulk of the, like, millions of dollars you know. So it's almost like these business practices were inherently exploitative from the start.
Yeah, it's designed that way.
Oh, man, I wonder. You know?
Yeah.
So the idea that all of these employees that were hoping to get these bonuses are going to be getting so far below what they rightfully earned, and it's wage theft. It's absolutely 100% wage theft. Like, it's so weird to me because I've worked in a lot of shittier industries as a contractor or have done crunch for very limited periods. And yet, despite the fact that I worked in shittier environments, I worked before my current job, which is in another industry, I worked in a corporate headquarters for a department store retailer that was liquidated. So it's not around anymore. But we worked a very specific period of crunch. And I'm talking 50 hours instead of 40 hours, maybe. And every hour that was over that 40 hours was time and a half overtime.
And it was only an hourly employee. That was only in like the sort of holiday months, right?
That was in the holiday season.
Yeah.
And that was for like 3 weeks.
Right.
So like 50 hour weeks.
Because people in the Kotaku story, I'm pretty sure that it was said that like QA had been crunching since 2016, essentially.
Yeah. This is, that's on, and that's like 60, 70, 80 hours. And I'm like, you don't actually go home and do anything but sleep. You don't, you go to work, you go home, you sleep.
There was a mention
that
like one of the Rockstar studios had laundry service because you might not have time.
Yeah, which time was, to leave that work was a, to do I, anything.
Yeah, that was an interesting, I mean, I'm not shocked because I know that like those companies also like, you know, like feed you, but the laundry service.
You have to leave work.
Yeah.
You have to leave work.
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, it's so depressing when you basically leave your job and go home and have enough time to just hit your bed for a couple of hours and go right back. That mentally degrades you.
Right. And you're making so a creative product, too. So, like, that's why I just, like, keep coming back to, like, I don't, this it just wasn't worth it, I don't think. Like, I think, I know that everybody, like, a lot of the reviews are like, was it worth it for all for this amazing game for whatever, but I don't know, like, even though I'm playing it and there's stuff I like, and even if it, I don't know, even if it's a game I like, I just feel like it's never worth it. I don't know. Like, it just seems like there's just a better way to do it. There's other ways to do it. There's always other ways, it feels like to me.
Yeah, no, there's, and like you said, so going back to your original point, if that's what this is, like, if that's what people say, this is what's it's going to take to make a Red Dead, like, so let's say there's a Red Dead Redemption 3 on the horizon now. No, let's just not have one.
Yeah.
Because
if it can't be this giant game that takes this, like, much from people, then it, let's not have it, or have it in some other completely different way, because this isn't worth it.
It isn't. It really isn't. And the thing is like, that's... Yeah. That's, it's so weird to me that this, like, I'm sure that maybe I would have more of a moral quandary about this if this was a game I actually, like, really cared about. But, like,
I was trying to imagine, like, you know, I love Dark Souls. Like, what if it came out that they were doing this on Dark Souls? Like, I still feel like I really like Dark Souls, but, like, maybe Dark Souls shouldn't exist that way if that's how horrible
exactly.
It was.
Exactly.
I can't just say, like, I love Dark Souls, but I can't be like, well, the game's good, so maybe it was worth it. I just don't think it's worth it ever.
And it's, I'm not going to revere the Housers for their artistic endeavors. I'm not going to, you know, like, their artistic endeavors if they're not, like, they're also not the ones, like, bringing most of this to bear. Like, I'm sure they have a huge amount of the writing credits, but, like, this game isn't just writing. It's so many more things. So the idea that, like, Dan Houser was like, oh, this is a 100-hour week that the writing team did, I'm like, I don't actually care. Like, there's so many other people's lives that you're ruining in the process that, like, to make this game come forward, like...
Like, and even at the beginning of that article, it says, like, they added black bars to cutscenes.
Yes.
And that took...
added...
Yeah. I don't remember the exact time frame
and
it,
I'm just
it
like,
added, but yeah.
The fact that you made that so late in the development process, and that you decided to saddle that one to the rest of your team...
Yeah. Cause, like,
that's horrifying.
For that thing, I was thinking about it because I was like, okay, imagine, because I've been playing it. So it's just like, I was like, okay, imagine if, like, those black bars weren't there because they said, like, gosh, really, really want those black bars, but look how much work it would have taken. We should have done this earlier. Well, we can't do it. It's not worth it. I don't think the game would really be that impacted. And, like, yeah, maybe it's not the Houser's, like, vision or whatever, but I don't know. That's part of, like, working on a creative thing, is you got to make sacrifices for things that so you don't kill yourself. I don't know. Like, that's what I mean when it's like, I just don't think that stuff is ever worth it, because there's always other ways you can do it. Like, you can always, there's always, like, things you can't, like, have in something you make, right? Like, I feel like some of this is from, like, making the perfect game that has every single thing you ever want. But that's, I don't know. Like, don't you? I don't know. I just feel like anything even I make, like, anything I write, there's always stuff where it's like, well, if I had more time, I probably would have added that. But
At some point, you just have to publish it. And on the other hand, I bet it's easy. Here's the biggest part that's the most exploitative, is the Housers themselves, or the development at a certain level themselves, have this idea and this wish list for this game. And it's pretty clear to me that at no point did they really consider what it was going to take to make those things happen.
Yeah.
And
if they did, they don't care. That's more malicious.
If they did, they don't care. And they didn't, they don't have to care, because somebody else is doing it. And somebody else is, like, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. And they have a lot of money. So it's like, they can, you know, like, they can just do whatever they want in terms of, like, spending, you know, 8-7 years on a game.
Except spending that money on paying their workers more.
Yeah, except that.
Yeah, like, there's so many things wrong in this situation that it's so hard to break it down, because basically at every single point of this, you're mismanaging your resources, you are underpaying your workers, you are disenfranchising them for having healthy like a healthy mental health, physical health, relationships outside of their job. Like it's appalling. It's appalling.
And you don't even get credited at the end of the game.
You don't even get credited if you don't make it to the quote unquote finish line of releasing the game. Like, so you're depriving people of their ability to get future jobs based on this. And this is not.
Yeah, just I'm pretty sure. So nobody's mentioned it, but I'm pretty sure also BioShock Infinite also did that. I think there's a ton of people who worked on BioShock Infinite that are not in the credits.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know it's the same parent company, sure, like 2K that. Or whatever, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure BioShock is in one of the other, and I'm sure other games do it too. I'm just saying. I know BioShock is another.
They do,
big game.
And also if you work on a game that isn't released ever, you also don't get to.
Yeah, you can't like
it's put
usually
it on your
NDA'd,
resume because it's
so,
NDA'd.
Yeah.
The games industry itself, Rockstar aside, the games industry itself needs sweeping labor reform. Like, just tons. Because from the outset, it is making these massive, bloated, beautiful in some ways, but ultimately pointless and meaningless consumer products in some ways, when you consider how they were produced.
Yeah.
Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Like,
yeah.
Either we do it the right way or we don't fucking do it at all.
Yeah.
Like, and there are so many people in games who are fucking rich off video games. And there are so many people who are not, who have no job security, who have no health insurance, who have
in the same company.
Yeah, in the same company. Like, CEOs of video game companies live a very different life than a QA guy.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just it's not mind-blowing to me anymore because
I think this is also just the tech industry too, I think. Like, from what I've heard, like, I don't super
tech
know about
industry,
that, but yeah.
But even industries I've worked in, I have definitely looked up how much our CEOs make versus how much I make. And it's the CEO of my last company made $3.5 million a year. For doing what? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I made $18 an hour, which in my area is pretty competitive. And I, and got benefits and stuff. But $18 an hour versus $3.5 million a year. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Whatever. Jesus Christ. So she's not doing $3.5 million worth of work. Guess who's doing the $3.5 million worth of work? It's the rest of us. And that's why that shit's fucking garbage, you know?
Yeah.
And that's.
And it's
like,
and a lot of these studios too are also huge too. So it's like.
Yeah.
They. Like, not only do they have a lot of money to, like, they could pay people with, but they also, like one thing that was only, like, maybe good thing, apparently, from the Rockstar thing was, like, since Red Dead 1, they've made it to where, like, they're all of their, like, whatever four studios work on a game at the same time, so it's not just, like, one team crunching constantly, but, I mean, obviously there's still issues, but, like, that's the thing that I think even other studios don't even do, is, like, they don't even, like, combine efforts like that to alleviate anything. They just work on several games instead of just one or whatever. Like, and that's an example of another way to do it, that you could do it instead of like torturing people.
I just think it's like at a certain point the scope of your project just needs to match the amount of people that
I understand that, like, there's a demand for giant games, but why? Even stuff in while playing Red Dead that I still think about. This happens to me with like a lot of open world games, but it's like I am riding my horse across this, like, you know, this like countryside or whatever to get to this area for a quest, and yes, it's like pretty and stuff to go through, but you could like truncate this and make it, you could even make it a cutscene, and I feel like there's a way to sort of get that sense across and it not be a giant game.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I think about that a lot with a lot of big games. It's just like, I understand you want me to like sort of slowly move through this world and maybe veer off the road or whatever, but there's also like a decision there where you could just be like, you know, I'm gonna depict this world and make it feel really big, but it's not actually, because we don't have the resources. And that's okay. Like, I don't know. I there's other games that do this. Even Dark Souls isn't even open world and it feels big.
I think that there's some paring back, like, and I know that a lot of this is personal preference, because we tend to like smaller crafted experiences that are more meaningful versus these like giant open world games. But the trend has been giant open world games, because I think it's easier to sell those as, you know, $60-$80 games versus making games that, you know, are $60-$70 games, you know, like $80 games that pay people fairly and aren't as big. I also think that there, a lot of it has to do with the trend of like open world games are so big and so detailed and so voice acting.
They have so many mechanics that it feel like there's so much stuff that you, it doesn't matter what kind of player you are, you'll find something. And it's like, we're going to try to appeal to everyone.
I think what they're trying to do with open world games is they're trying to gesture at what they really want to be, which is like films. Except films are like typically a tight two and a half hours with, you know, pre-written.
But that's like when I was talking about the open world thing, I imagine, like, you know, Lord of the Rings feels giant. It's a film. You don't just walk around aimlessly, but it feels huge, because that's how you can make people feel like things are giant and big, and like you can have that could be a feeling you can like evoke, but you don't actually have to walk around it.
The Lord of the Rings books were bad specifically because 90% of it was just text describing.
Yeah, well, I guess I was mostly thinking of like the movies. Yeah,
were good because they took that sprawling, terrible experience of the books and made it a tight, you know.
And it feels like this big world, and it's, you know, obviously the movies are expensive too. But I'm just saying that like, there's other ways to do it. If you want to be like a movie, don't maybe make it actually cinematic. Like, think about how movies can like shorthand stuff, but still have that feeling. Like,
but
it,
also,
there's artistry
like,
there. I don't know.
There's also the thing that games, no matter how hard they try, are never going to be movies.
Yeah.
And they should, you know, like, and that's a whole other discussion we've had on multiple occasions of just
that's something that's coming up with Red Dead, like the game itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should, because you got Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've already heard a couple other people talk about this, of just like, it's very clear, it seems like it's pretty clear that they want to create a cinematic experience without recognizing that games are an interactive.
It's really weird, because Grand Theft Auto 5, the last game they made, had cinematic like ish stuff in it, but it definitely had lots of parts where it is just a game, and like that's its own thing. Not that it's lesser or anything, but yeah, Red Dead just feels like somebody really is obsessed with their own writing, and they're very like obviously, you know, some of the shots are really cool. Like, it has that cinematic camera angle. You like hold down a button, and then you only have to press like one button while it's just showing you these like different like dynamic camera angles, which actually look really cool and stuff. But And it seems like they're even tied to like who's talking. Like, it'll like sort of zoom in on like somebody on like a horse that's talking or whatever. But like, that stuff's really cool, I guess. But it's also like, you know, it's still a game. And I don't know. Like, it's just the game has so many animations for stuff. Like, everything takes so much time. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, even just like getting off your horse takes a second, and then getting back on it, or like, yeah, you'll like fly, or like I accidentally like fell off my horse, and like Arthur, your main character, just like flies off, obviously like in this like, you know, extravagant fashion, and then he like gets up and sort of dusts himself off, and like you can't do anything as a player during this. It's not really annoying, but it's just like somebody really cares about showing all of this, and it gets in the way sometimes when there's stuff like, you know, we really want you to feel like you're not just a video game character with a million guns in his pocket, so you have to put guns on your horse. But sometimes, you know, like, you can shorthand that stuff, but in this game, it's like, you know, if you don't have your weapons and you leave your horse behind, you just won't have weapons. Like, you have to go back to your horse and, like, go through a whole menu and watch, like, Arthur pull out a rifle or, like, put it back in and, like, strap it down on the horse or whatever. And yes, it looks cool, but it's like, I'm playing this game where you're telling me to go fight, chase after this person or whatever, and I have, you know, 30 seconds before it says mission failed, but I have to do all of this stuff because you thought it looks really pretty, but it's still a game. Like, it's weird. It's really strange in that way that it really wants you to just sit and watch every single thing, every animation, but it also wants you to be like, ooh, chase after this person or like kill these people or like do all these things that you usually would do in a game, but it's abstracted in a way that it looks pretty. And I wonder if it's a little too much because, like, and also especially with, you know, the labor stuff, it's like, gosh, all these animations are cool, but
that was time.
That was somebody's time. And you don't need to do that for everything. Like, there are other games where, like, you have maybe a bunch of guns in your pocket, and yeah, it's a little weird, but it's, you can, some of that stuff people forget when it's, you know, there's other stuff to pay attention to.
Well, here's the thing is, like, again, talking about the cinematic experience, there's a reason that movies have editing. There's a reason, like, if you watch through a sloggy movie where every shot is just a long, if you watched a movie where every shot was a long tracking shot of somebody just doing something that really didn't have a bearing on the plot.
Isn't it like a movie trope, or not trope, but isn't it, I mean, it's not even trope because it's not bad or anything, but, like, nobody says, like, hello or goodbye on a phone, right?
Yeah.
They never show that because you don't need to.
You don't need to, and
or
that's
like closing
why,
a door or whatever, unless it's like something dramatic. But
the reason that's like specifically with filmic storytelling is so much different than game storytelling.
Yeah,
because there's not that interactive element. So what you need to show in filmic storytelling is you can jump between two things and indicate what that's like. You can get down story beats.
Yeah.
Just by the kinds of edits and cuts you use. Like, you
even
can...
stuff like, you know, a shaking hand pulling the gun out of the, like, horse, like, bag thing. You know, like, he's worried about this or whatever. But you don't get that. It's just another animation where he's just doing that or something. Like,
so
there's a difference.
You get all the tedium that gets cut out of films, and yet they want to express that this is somehow cinematic.
Right.
When it's like, no, cinema has editing. Cinema has jump cuts. Cinema has temporal jumps, like, you know how in like sci-fi films how you'll have one shot and it'll be like, you know, 1989,
yeah,
and then it'll jump cut.
I just
like
think a lot about
cut,
like
it'll jump to it, like it'll hit another shot,
yeah,
and then the like banner text will say, you know, 2600, you know, like
like I just think of, you think about, like, you just play 30 Flights of Loving, like,
there's
the scene in the airport where you're going through the airport. There's a bunch of people and it cuts like three times. And I'm sure you felt like you were going through a crowded airport, but you only spent like 10 seconds there. You know,
30 Flights of Loving is 100% the game I keep coming back to when I think about a game that has the interactivity of video games with the actual mechanics of cinema.
Because it actually wants to be like cinematic, where like Rockstar is like, well, if you just have to look at it a lot and it looks really pretty, then it's cinematic.
Then it's
but that's
cinematic.
Not what
and
that
also
is.
Doing thing because the thing is like in a movie, the only time that you go through the same thing multiple times is in something called a montage.
Yeah.
Like, unless something has a specific reason in a movie to be repeated over and over and over again, like, you know, showing a progression. Like, that's something that's actually really well used in movies a lot of times, where you see somebody doing the same thing and it cuts and they're doing it again and it cuts and they're doing it again and it cuts. You're getting the sense that the days are passing or this is a repetitive action and it has a bearing on the story. It's communicating something to you.
Or like, whereas even like the Marvel movies will do, like, you know, like Iron Man suiting up because it's like, oh, this is a moment where it's like, oh, he's
this is a moment,
on
this
the
is
suit,
important,
you know?
Yeah. Whereas if you are the person in a video game that has to do these things, because that's what an interactive video game does, it puts you in the position of having to do these repetitive
tasks. And I don't think...
No,
I think
it's just
are,
you wasting
yeah.
your time as a real person.
Right.
It's not communicating anything.
And it's like, sometimes there are definitely games that have communicated stuff like that. But yeah, like like, I'm sure there's, I haven't played Spec Ops for a long time, but I think Spec Ops is sort of interesting too, that like, here's a game where it thought a little bit harder about like, okay, you know, barks, like the things that characters say while you're playing. What happens if those actually did convey something more than just like some guy saying, I'm reloading? What if the story actually affected that? And that's what that game did, was like, people actually, like, as that game gets, you know, in terms of the narrative, gets sort of more harrowing, people start like screaming at each other instead of just saying like, I'm reloading or I'm covering fire. Like, they start like swearing and everything. And that's a small thing, but I'm just saying, like you were saying, there's stuff in games that seems like it's just there, but like, not, it's, nobody thought about it being actually something to convey something. Like, it's always just like, well, it's more cinematic or more, it feels like it's more engaging if we have this like bells and whistles, but we don't actually like use them to tell anything. There's no like, there's, they don't propel anything at all, like narratively. And that's what I, that bugs me about games that think they're cinematic, is because like, cinema is always like serving a narrative, isn't it? I mean, like, for the most part, right? Like, everything usually, I mean, is good saying something. Does. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Like, well, even bad cinema.
Yeah, even bad cinema, I feel like, still is trying to. Maybe it's bad, but like, I just, when you look at,
executed, but it's still trying to do something.
Yeah.
Unless you're specifically making films that are trying to undermine the actual effect of like storytelling and narrative, and you're just trying to make something that conveys like mood, like a mood piece or something like that. You know, but that's something.
But like in Red Dead, when you want to refill your like Deadeye core, and you have to like get the, like have Arthur get the like thing of coffee, like get a cup, pour it into the cup, and then drink it, and then have to like hold a button down three times to drink it. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm drinking coffee, but I don't know. Like, does this really, I don't know. Maybe somebody could argue that like, oh, it's like you just taking time at your camp, and like, it's supposed to sort of convey that you got to like take breaks in this game. But stuff like that just feels like
the novelty wears off. Yeah, after the novelty wears off
is the thing. Somebody, yeah, like you could have had that as a cutscene, or maybe the first animation, and then after that you press the button, and maybe it even does like a little like fade to black and whatever, you know, like there's so many things you could do to not spend so much time and money on all of these things that don't even serve a narrative at all, really, to me. Like, I mean, I haven't played that much of the game, maybe like 4 hours, something like that, but it's, I just don't think this stuff, I think people think that this stuff looks really cool as like these like sort of different like tangential like little features of a game, but they don't actually really add to anything. You just sort of think of them fondly as something that was sort of neat, and it
falls apart after 10 hours.
And a lot of games do this. Like, it isn't even just Red Dead, but there's so many games that just have little things like this. It's like, they're pretty, but I just don't think you need them.
Yeah,
and this is why like open world games just usually bug me, because there's so much stuff in them that is like, that's cool, but I would play a game where it's just a fourth of this, and I bet it could be really compelling.
Here's the thing too, is I think no matter how pretty this game is, even if it was made under the best circumstances, even if it was pared down significantly, man, do we need a cowboy game?
Yeah.
Do we need a game that's specifically about promoting a white power fantasy?
Yeah.
About the West being tamed, which historically was basically genocide and, you know, colonialism. And like,
and also a game that it, like, because there's definitely parts of this game that clearly understand, I think, that a lot of that stuff is sort of like mythical, and like it wasn't really great, like people, like maybe something, I don't know, I guess like people talk about it, but, and like that's in films and stuff, but it has its cake and eats it too, though, is the thing. Like it opens with like, oh, the West, like all the gangs are dying out or whatever, and like civilization is here or whatever, but
the civilization was already there, bitch. Yeah,
the civilization was there, and it's like, it's dying, it's all myths, but it's like, you don't actually understand. You understand that it's not all of it was true and it's a video game, but you also don't understand that, like, yeah, like, this is all horrible anyway. The basis of all of this is horrible. I don't know. It's so weird to me.
Okay, so here's the thing. The reason that I have such a weird, well, you know, it's pretty obvious why I don't really like cowboy stuff, because if you study media at all, it's always been promoting an extremely inaccurate, ahistorical, white fantasy of the cowboy, where cowboys typically were low-paying jobs that were often for you know, people of color, a lot of black people, a lot of you know, like Mexican and Central American people, like this was stuff that was not white people. It wasn't this hyper masculine thing that was used to like promote this, like, you know, exceptionalist ideal version of like the white powerful man. And then it also neglects the huge amount of history of this Western expansion that wasn't expansion. It was just a continuation of the ruining of indigenous cultures that were already here.
And it always treats them as like one culture, like, oh, they're all the same.
Yes. No, they're all, you they're know, all like just, they're,
yeah,
you know, they're all Native Americans versus no,
they're all part of one tribe or whatever.
They're all one tribe versus like, no, there's, you know, there's so many different tribes.
Yeah.
They all have different cultures. They all have different languages. They all have different, you know, practices and, you know, purposes and relationships to their region and things like that.
And this game just feels like it understands that somebody would say like, well, actually movies were wrong. And that's it. They don't understand why.
They're just like, why.
Well, yeah, so it's wrong.
And
so we
still
should be
meta draws
about
from
it.
That cinematic tradition of Western films without really going into what Western films were trying to do, which was, you know, predominantly create these like completely fictional ideas of like, you know, these white loner men, you know, beating up women and, you know, indigenous people, basically. And I don't, you know, like, it's interesting. So there is a painter, Remington, I forgot his first name. I'm trying to Google him real fast. Frederick Remington.
Okay.
American painter, illustrator, also not surprisingly, also related to the family, the Remington family, as we all know, who made a lot of guns.
Right.
Frederick Remington painted paintings that did the same sorts of things that Western films did, which was create this alternate reality where, you know, these cowboys are on their horses in these vast expanses of the wilderness. He did paint pictures of like native people, but they were always couched in the iconography and the shorthand for native people, and also, like homogenized a lot. And yet they were so incredibly popular for that reason, because it sold a fantasy. It sold this idea, this visual shorthand of this is the West. It's completely open and lawless. And isn't that great? Isn't this like fun and exciting and tragic and visually exciting and dynamic and completely just erases how much of this, you know, like, untamed lawlessness was basically just stealing land and killing people. Like,
it's always that specific perspective.
It's always that really specific perspective when you realize that, like, people just basically like, well, I don't see anybody else here, so this is my land now. That's literally how Kansas was formed, was people running and putting down things for plots of land. Like, and, you know, so it's like that being repeated in video games. That's another reason why this game shouldn't really exist, because it's selling the same sort of completely unnuanced, uncritical idea.
But I think it's almost that issue that we've talked about with regards to other things, where it's like it is trying to be smart about that, because I'm pretty sure this game understands, like I said, there is something wrong with the way we tell Western stories, but it doesn't. It just wants to have it, but also like say something about itself, and that in effect is like, oh, it's really sad, but it doesn't like you said, what if it just didn't exist? Like, what if you just didn't tell this story with a white cowboy guy?
I don't even think that. Here's the thing is, like, I don't think you can make a quote unquote game about Westerns that also says something about Westerns.
I think it thinks it is, but it's not. Yeah.
The Western genre as it stands is a fiction.
Yeah.
That does not concern itself with reality.
Right. Western, and I think this game thinks that it can do more than that, but I don't think that is possible.
It's not. Yeah. It's 100% not.
Because this, I'm pretty sure this game opens with this idea that it knows. It's winking at you, we know it's kind of troublesome, but you don't. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're still gonna play it. Yeah, you're still gonna play this beautiful game. So is it really troublesome? Just don't think about it.
I think that's almost more, maybe that's worse, because there's people that are going to play this game and be like, yeah, it revolutionized it or whatever, this
genre. It revolutionized
genre.
Western genre.
Yeah, and it's oh, no. I think it's the thing that happens to some Grand Theft Auto games, because they always have, Grand Theft Auto games are so critical of, American culture, but also not, because they don't even understand. They do, but they don't. There's so much stuff in Grand Theft Auto games that are you are trying to make fun of American culture, but you also are just racist or sexist or whatever, or misogynist. Those games don't ever understand anything they're actually trying to talk about, because it's better to just make a game where it sort of winks at everything but doesn't say anything. And
I think you have to really, if you want a game that's critiquing a specific kind of existing media that isn't video games, so if you want to take a genre that has been, you can even take a genre that's been in within of video games, but if you want to take on a certain particular kind of flavor of media, say Westerns or things of that nature, and you want to port that to video games, the criticism has to exist outside of itself. It has to exist outside of it.
You can't make a game about getting better
about moving you through Western experience.
It's an open world game where you you essentially level up. There's no levels, but you're increasing stats. You're able to kill people better. You're taking over more areas, and that's by design. That is a game that doesn't really work with that genre. If you want to say something that's smarter
you have to radically rethink what your game would be about.
Yeah,
if you
it would
really
have to be something else. It couldn't be this.
It couldn't be. It could be this.
And that's a lot of games, but this specifically, it bugs me that it thinks it's really smart, but it's really not.
I also, it's just there. Yeah, you cannot. You have to be if we were talking about any other genre, I think this would be less difficult. It's just that Western.
Yeah, it's hard. Westerns is a lot of ingrained. Yeah.
Well, Western is a genre that really shouldn't exist.
Right,
it
because it's already
on a foundation
it is just
of
bad.
Fiction.
Yeah.
It's just, I wouldn't, bad just doesn't say. It's, yeah. It's fiction. It is fiction that is serving a political and ideological purpose, and that is to promote Western white expansionism.
It's based on. Just complete, I guess, like you said, fiction.
Yeah,
it's just fictional.
It's a fiction that reveres expansionism and genocide.
Yeah,
That's what it's been doing from the start. And
which is weird. It's almost like you're saying it's like fantasy, but fantasy that like is actually just like her, or like, I don't know, like actually like not respecting anything about like any like actual real life.
Well, because it's specifically used to completely whitewash the actual historical record of things, and it actively.
I think your game would have to be. It would almost have to be not Western. It would have to just say something.
Well,
about
yes,
that.
It'd have to say something about Westerns by not being Western, basically. Yeah,
which,
like,
I mean, I think there are games that have done that. I don't have any examples in my head, but like, it doesn't. I mean, I have no idea if it's actually good, but doesn't like even like the Fallout games have like some stuff like New Vegas? I thought New Vegas had some stuff to say because it's not a Western, but I know that, you know, it's New Vegas. It takes place in. I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't played New Vegas, but I know there's definitely like lots of like cowboy looking people in that game. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's definitely like an expansion, I think, that is like takes place in like this very like dry, rocky area that I think has a lot of stuff like that, but I'm not sure. But I know there are other games that are definitely not Westerns that have talked about them. So
yeah, you basically have to make something that seeks to talk about. I mean, like, that's the thing, is there's so many things that I think that don't games really can't express well because you have to be a participant.
Yeah,
so
and a lot of them are
make,
you getting better, like in again becoming more powerful,
so
and taking
make
over
somebody,
things.
If you wanted to make somebody a participant in something that critiqued Westerns, you'd basically have to. You couldn't be a cowboy. You really couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that.
The only way is you could be like super meta about it and like just keep punishing the player for things or something. But I don't know. Like, you know, I'm sure there's maybe a way to tackle it, but Red Dead is not the way.
Yeah, it's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are smarter people who have a lot better things to say about this particular topic, especially from like, you know, a native or indigenous perspective.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, like basically have.
And I guess that just wouldn't be a Western.
It just wouldn't be a Western.
Because that's what I was thinking, like not be a cowboy. But if you're not a cowboy, then it's not really a Western, I guess. Because
that's why I keep saying it's a fiction. It's a fiction that plays so well into video games because so many video games are about promoting a white.
Yeah,
you know, like a hegemonic white masculine power fantasy. Westerns are the pinnacle.
Like almost every open
world
game is that.
Yeah, well, and Westerns were that before video games were even invented.
Right,
like the idea of like going out and taming the land, and it's like no, like what, like everything about it speaks so much to the idea of like.
Gaining
white,
things,
lone wolf,
and, yeah,
exceptional
hero
status,
story,
like subjugating, dominating, destruction.
Because so much of games is like filling bars, and sometimes that means
resource
like taking
generation,
over. And, yeah,
I know that Dia Lucina has written so much about how games are inherently colonial in their resource acquisition. Like even games that are not about going to a new land, you know, and colonizing.
Not your Dragon Age Inquisitions, but like in Mass Effects.
Yeah, like, you know, like specifically still talk and think about resource generation and populations in a very colonial mindset. And that's, I've read a lot of work about in that sort of vein. So, Westerns and video games.
I think there's a
really
talk recently about this too. So it's one game thing. I forget what it was called.
I know. I think it might have been brought up at, the queer gaming.
There's been
a couple academic conferences that have had.
I don't think it was like GDC or anything. It was something else.
No, it was something very recently. Yeah. But so it's like video games already have that kind of problem, and I can see why Western slots so neatly into that because video games already have, in a lot of ways, in the AAA space, I should say. In a lot of ways that sort of, you know, hegemonic white masculine power fantasy sort of predisposition. So, We just don't need Red Dead, really. As beautiful as the snow or the horse testicles.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Journey is a game that had, like, really amazing sand physics in it. It almost sort of made that game around that idea. And this game has really good snow physics, like, even to the point where, like, the snow gets packed down after you walk over it, and it's sort of see-through, and it, like, cracks. But why? Why do we have that? I mean, it looks cool.
Can we
but
just
like,
have a game that's just with that's just a snow tech demo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Journey's a sand tech demo, but I think the sand, they worked so hard on that sand.
They worked so hard on the sand.
And it's such a visual like metaphor for that game, and like it's so pretty, and like it works. It's sort of like a mechanic almost. Like that game, like that one big kind of feature for that game was like a main thing, right?
Yeah,
like you can make a game like that is all I'm saying. Like you can make a game based off of almost one thing.
Yeah,
but you know,
I mean we've talked quite a bit about all this sort of stuff, but how does it play, Tyler?
The guns feel good. No, I don't know. It's I don't know. It's a Red Dead game. It reminds me of the original one. Like I said, it makes me laugh how much they're like trying to act like they understand that Westerns are bad or something, or like based off of like a like kind of a lie. But they do stuff where like I don't know. I always have a hard time playing games as like dudes these days, and it's funny because they try to make like Arthur like, oh, he's like a cowboy and he's all gruff and everything, but you know, he has a diary and he like, or like a, you know, notebook thing, and he draws like the deer that he walked by, and then also like writes about what he did that day. And
he's
it's
sensitive.
Oh God.
Masculine
just,
man.
It just, it, I mean, not that that's not true, but it's just like for anybody, but it's just, it's so like ham fisted to me. And it's like, oh, but you really care about Arthur. He's not just, he's not just like the gruff cowboy. But, and then they also have things where it's like, you have like, you know, like you have like a black cowboy like on your like in your gang or whatever, who like vaguely talks about stuff that is important, like that was like that as actually happening then, but it just like you said, like it all is like serving this sort of like power fantasy thing that it's more in this game, there's a lot more layers on top of it, so they try to like complicate it a little bit more. But that's, you know, at the end of the day, you're leveling up your stuff, you're getting to be able to run faster, longer, or whatever, and like you're leveling up your horse, and like, yeah, this stuff is like abstracted, but it's still a game. Like,
I love horse XP.
Yeah, like I pat my horse a lot. It's you can go up and like and pet it, which is funny, but it's kind of fun. It's a whole animation, but like I actually was doing it before I knew that it was like making my horse bond
boost
level. Yeah, like
a
your bond.
A horse bond.
Because like you can call your horse, and if you have a stronger bond, it will come from further away, I guess. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool
to
pet the horse.
That mechanic.
Yeah.
That's so necessary.
But like, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday where it's just like there's so many like mechanics that are so deep, like, you know, if you take a bath and there's like a button to like scrub your left arm, then you gotta like spam that same button to like and watch the animation, and then like scrub your right arm, scrub your leg or whatever, your hair, your face.
I think we're doing listeners a disservice if we don't talk about deer skin.
Yeah, because then there's a mission where it was show. Like kill a deer, and to kill the deer you had to get a bow. And then you had to, well, you can craft arrows, but it gives you arrows. I think you have to craft them usually, which is a whole other thing. And then you have to get the bow off of your horse, which means you have to like unequip it off of your horse, sort of like basically take it from the bags. And then there's a whole animation there. And then you got to like find tracks, and then you got to use a special vision because everybody in video games now has like Batman, like see-through vision, apparently. Because,
well, that's accurate.
Yeah. I forgot about that's how like cowboys worked, but
that's how hunters work too.
Yeah. And you track the tracks, and then you crouch and follow these tracks, and you got to watch where your scent is, because if your scent is carried by them from the wind, then the animals will be like afraid and run away.
Well, that's funny because that is accurate.
Right. But it's,
yeah,
but it's another granular thing.
Game.
And then you like find, then you like shoot the deer, and if you shoot it too like much or something, that the meat isn't as good or whatever, or if it's like you use the wrong arrows, because you have to like, if you're gonna shoot like a rabbit, you can't use like a normal arrow because it's too huge. Like,
yeah,
you can,
yeah, you
but it'll ruin this like meat and everything. And then then you pick up the deer because you got to pick it up, and then you got to put it on your horse, so, like tie it down on the horse, and then take it back. and then you bring it to the dude who like makes food, and you press a button to skin the deer, and he just skins it, and it's over.
All that, and yeah. You press one yeah, button like, to swear skin a deer, to skin it.
And he just like peels is... off the thing like an orange peel, like the skin, and then whoa. It's just.
Which is hilarious to me. All this supposed verisimilitude of yeah. of hunting a deer and yet skinning is one button press when it's right. like.
Which both of I us guess I realize been... that maybe that would make people like squeamish if you actually had to do it, but it's I don't know. Like
maybe you should.
There's also a lot of deer detail is to just real killing fucking people hard. In this game. Yeah, like
skinning a deer is that's why hunting animals is like a big undertaking yeah. that you should do for. Food purposes and resource purposes and not game hunting.
Yeah.
Because actually having to butcher your own animals is an undertaking.
Yeah. It's like it's a skill because I mean there you it's can a screw skill. It up too.
You have to like hang it up yeah. and you know drain
which I
the
think
blood
some of it is abstracted to be like oh the cook guy will do the rest but still even skinning takes a bit.
One button press. Yeah. No, it's not how that's not how skinning works. Yeah. Like it's ugh, that's
some people like don't deal with like the legs or whatever and like or like I've the guy I was watching on YouTube a while back like gave it to his dog or whatever like there's a lot more than just like peeling a skin off of a deer.
Well yeah because then yeah. you have to pull out the guts yeah. and peel the meat you know butcher
and
the
you
meat
have to
off
be careful
the bones
with the guts and stuff like that like if yeah, you puncture exactly. that stuff it's bad
because yeah. you know if you don't have access to you know the ability to clean stuff and right. things like that yeah especially
you gotta keep it cold wild. And like yeah there's it's just funny when you have
or
to do so much
salt,
work or salt you know? Yeah there's so yeah. much work to just like getting it and like shooting it with a bow and then you just press a button and it's just it's
and
interesting
then the fiction falls away
yeah like... then the fiction falls away and like taking a bath takes so much time it's just really interesting to see like where they really prioritized having a bunch of detail and then where they didn't, because that seems to be like so far the theme of the game to me is just like there are stuff in this game where it's like, oh, this is supposed to be cinematic, so we're going to do a lot of this for you. But then this part's where the game is. And it's uh-huh. it's just weird where they choose to put that because I don't know. It's just strange to me. It's interesting just because I guess the deer one stuck out because I know more about that. So there's probably other stuff, you know, like even making coffee. And this game isn't really realistic. That's not how you don't, coffee doesn't just sort of appear, but you know, like, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird, it's, I mean, a lot of other games do this too, but it's just because this game thinks it's so like thorough and cinematic and like specific, but then, you know, you just one button press the skin of deer. It's just kind of funny to me. I don't know.
Maybe they had to cut the deer skinning. Because it was just costing too much time.
Yeah, maybe.
Unlike the other hours.
Didn't
want to
crunch for that
this,
one. Yeah.
The bar. Yeah. So I it's funny. I have my summary on my feelings is like I have just zero interest in playing this game.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect to people who do, I guess, but you know, I don't have any particular, and I've never had any particular interest in Westerns, other than maybe from like a film perspective, because I, you know,
right.
But it's a little bit easier to pick apart the fiction of Western for critical analysis in films versus a video game, and I don't want to spend $80 million yeah. on a game that's going to take me 80 hours to get through when I can watch a yeah. 2-hour film.
You get to play
look
as
at a painting.
A dude cowboy. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I don't. Zero interest, you know. Like, just... But, you know, we wanted to talk about it because it's definitely a big thing and it has a lot of moving pieces.
It's something
in terms
to really
of...
think about when you play other games, too, I think.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's something I've been thinking about a lot since this was like, oh, gosh, you know, I never really, really considered that, like, World of Warcraft is gigantic. I wonder how much work that takes. Or,
yeah,
you know,
how
Destiny
big that team
2
is,
or whatever.
What their
you know?
Hours
yeah.
are like.
Because they
got
to get those
2,
expansions
same.
Out and. Or even patches, and we don't hear about that because, oh, it's just a patch, but there's sometimes the patches are almost like games, and, you know, I mean, obviously, they have the game there, the framework, but, you know, a whole dungeon? I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes that stuff could be a lot of work.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeehaw!
Yeah.
I think that's probably going to be the show for us this week. Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. My YouTube is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. I write for blizzardwatch.com. I also stream with Apple, and it's or Nico. I always call you Apple, but whatever. The Blizzard Watch Twitch is just twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch.
Mm-hmm. You can also find me on Twitter at AppleCiderWitch. I also stream at AppleCiderWitch, and I also stream with Tyler on Blizzard Watch, as
yeah, I guess,
mentioned.
I guess NicoCiderWitch doesn't really work.
That's weird. Yeah. Also, if you like this show, you can follow us on Twitter at MISFcast as well. And if you like the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps us out. We'll also read your review on the show. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send it to our email at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com, all one word, or you can send it to us on Twitter as well. Also, if you do like the show, it really helps us out a lot to tell your friends, give podcast recommendations, think that word of mouth is easily the biggest way that we get people listening to the show. I know we had a lot of people retweeting the show last week about eighth grade. It was, really awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Also, our intro and outro music is made by Maddie Myers, and you can find everything that she does at Maddie Myers, MIDDIMYERS.net, and Maddie Myers on Twitter. So that's us for this week, and we will see you next time.
Bye.